Welcome to the game with Glenn Quatermain and Adrian Barrage. Quatt is a veteran footy scribe with hands so small he can only carry 2 pints. And Barra, an Eagles original, Perth Demons diehard, and regular face on Channel 7.
Hello, Adrian Barrage here from 7 News.
He'll tell you about the 1991 Grand Final, except he got dropped after the prelim. We don't promise any fancy sound effects or bells and whistles. It's just two blokes talking football.
And my hands don't get any bigger, but Dennis's voice gets better and better and better with the years. You are listening to Quarters and Barra. We are brought to you by Tab Touch. Got the touch? Download the Tab Touch app today. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Barra, opening round. Don't mind the Northern States, but it's half a round too shy, I reckon.
You reckon? That's your verdict?
Play the whole fixtures in round and call it round one. I don't mind the Northern. There was good and bad. I think they were saying overwhelmingly good. I don't agree with that. I think there are a lot of people disenfranchised
Big
from that opening round.
Almost all sold out. That's pretty important in those zones. It's weird looking at the ladder too. You see the ladder? You got the eight teams, and then the rest of them are on nothing.
Yeah.
So or just dashes basically. So the premiership ladder. I think the people complaining the most are actually fantasy footy people because they're real pissed off about it.
I'll tell you what they're peed off about is Kitty Coleman exiting the Brisbane side. But we'll talk about that in a moment because I think it actually has a real sting for Brisbane in terms of their premiership chances. Just a couple of issues before we go through the games. The first one, this is a difficult one for you as president of the Perth Football Club, but I do want to just briefly address the investigation by the West Australian Footy Commission into some comments made to Zach Main Wearing, son of the late, great Chris at the weekend. Unedifying, unnecessary, a relic of the 80s, but it happened. They've addressed it and we move on.
And Zach is, I have spoken to Zach, and Zach is happy. And I believe there was a love heart emoji that went back to the fella involved. So, yeah, I can't say too much because I promised the Footy Commission that they could handle it, and I'm happy with that. I think it was a good process. And I suppose in some of these situations, it's a bit like when my son cops it a bit. Watermans do, I suppose. Michael Brennan, Peter Sumich, Gilly, I remember, Harry Gilchrist's boy, you know. It's always the easy way to go, I suppose. But anyway, it's sorted and it's all good. And the good thing is that Zachy's fine, yeah.
Well said. An opening round, your thoughts, you think?
I didn't mind it. Now, like I know that you were sort of a bit down on it. You wanted to have a bit more footy in Victoria and also over here. But it's here to stay. There's no doubt. And I reckon it'll go beyond the 5 years that they're in Las Vegas, the NRL, because it does make sense to me to get out there into the northern states and just try to take them on.
But why can't you open the round with those games in the northern states and then play out the rest of the round?
Well, then you're starting the season a week early,
yeah,
aren't
you? Yeah, but if you want to capitalise on the NRL markets, I think it should have even been a week earlier.
I tell you what, the other people getting peed off are all those footy nerds, and not having a go at them, but guys like Ryan Daniels and guys that really, they eat
fantasy
up.
Fantasy footy?
Yeah, they eat up that AFL tables. Have you ever been on AFL tables?
Yeah,
they love that. That's their Bible, right? And now, forever going forward, there's going to be round zero, and they're always going to be looking for round one, and then they'll forget that there was a round zero from these years, and they have to go back and, well, what happened in round zero?
But we're talking about this being
off
5 years and beyond. So now, what did you make of the Mason Cox stuff? I'm, of course, talking about the pre-game, Collingwood GWS. A lot of stuff happened in the lead-up. He called it the showgrounds, which it actually is, by the way. They do have the Royal Show there at the Giants Stadium. But
and it's about to happen. So that banner.
But look, we're in context. Now that he's made his explanation, it makes sense that he was trying to get another hit out. You know what? It's actually just good theatre for the game in terms of
they're trying to steal
the market up there.
The only problem is that he didn't get a kick in the first
half. Yeah, I know. That does hurt.
So it's a bit like if you're going to dye your hair blonde, you've got to get a kick. If you're going to do a woey, Shane Woe Woe, and dye your hair blonde, try to win the Brownlow, or just get selected, you've got to go well because it really stands out. And if you do something dumb like that, when I say dumb, it was only dumb in terms of Mumford, he would have killed Mason Cox. He would have bent him over, snapped him in two. You know what I mean? Like Mason Cox would not be able to front up to Mummy. Big Mummy.
Yeah, you don't know.
Mate, do you remember Big Mummy?
I know, he's a big boy. And
he's 110.
I know.
And he just loves running through blokes. Mm. He would have gone straight through the American pie.
I love Mason Cox.
I think he's good for the game. Yeah. But he has got that yank angle, which, you know, doesn't always cut it with a lot of defence and all that sort of stuff.
But I think it's a perfect market for it to just try and amp the game up a bit up there. I thought it was really good for theatre.
Yeah. What if Mumford had whacked him?
Well,
or backhanded him?
Well, then he's probably facing a bit of a penalty from the game in terms of being able to be an assistant coach. So
I'm just saying, how would you have felt then if there was, because that's the
problem.
Well,
that would be a gross overreaction if you whacked him.
Remember when Dermot went through the Essendon huddle, mate? I was talking, who was I talking to? Billy, I think it was Billy Duckworth. He said, mate, that happens again, I'm knocking him out. You know, and like there was must have been a lot of blokes thinking, bang, and that somehow he got through, and even his coach went, mate, what are you doing?
Well, Dermot got halfway through and thought, oh, this might be a bit of a mistake when he saw a few of the faces, Terry Danaher.
Coming
Billy,
for him.
But then when he
Terry
got...
Terry Danaher.
Alan Joyce, the Hawthorne coach, said that's cowboy stuff. But you talk about, you know, walking the walk. Well, Dermot used to have the blonde hair and the green boots at halftime.
Yeah.
But he could
deliver. Mate. He was one of the all-time greats. What is it, 7 night, 7 day grand finals or 7 night, 7 day premierships or something?
Yep.
So he could deliver. Yeah, so you've got to
five
be able
and
to,
five,
you've got to be able to serve it up. So you can't go into the first half and not have a kick, Mason, if you're listening.
Just a couple of things. Racism, Phil Cracker, a class action against the AFL. What did you make of it? Sorry to throw you in there.
Just Kevin. Well, once he mentioned Sheeds, like Kevin Sheedy, he invented Dreamtime Game. He's done more for Indigenous people. Him and Mal Brown have done so.
I agree. Both like, of them, yeah.
Talk about the wrong target. But maybe that's created the talk that he wanted. I mean, Phil was here. Remember, we got inducted.
I think it's not all about Kevin Sheedy, though. That's just a comment that was made at a sportsman's night. And he's saying he didn't say it. Phil Cracker is a really good
Wayne
human
Johnson.
Too. So I know.
Billy
so
Duckworth
this
got
is
mentioned.
About stuff that was said in that era, and we know there was a lot of stuff said in that era.
Because I'm conflicted because I was good friends with Chris Lewis, and I saw him get destroyed, like mentally destroyed by what was going on, by some of the biggest names in the game, who finally realised later on, wow, Tony, I don't know if Tony Shaw, he took a while to understand. He thought, no, what's on the field? You can have stays on the field and so on. But I can remember Louis getting sledged by a real big name and the umpire hearing it and then the umpire going, that's not against the rules, and just ignored it. Just ignored it.
Thankfully, you know, Michael Long took a stand, Nicky Winmar took a stand, the peak rule was introduced. We've seen a lot of change in that area, which is a very good thing. So, look, I'm... fascinated is probably the wrong word because it is
what
quite unsavoury, the whole thing.
What's the point of it?
Well, there's a class action. We're talking about remuneration, Barrett. That's what it's about. But it's also, I think, about addressing what the hurt and pain that they felt at the time.
There's a famous story from Jimmy. And Jimmy used to cop it worse than anyone, but Jimmy used to give it back. Phil used to suck it up, but Jimmy would go bang, 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 you know, if you were sledging him. It didn't happen a lot in Western Australia except in the crowd. And there's a famous story about Jimmy at Leaderville Oval playing against West Perth and getting vilified and jumping into the West Perth cheer squad and taking them on. The whole cheer squad.
Did he?
Jimmy Cracker took on the cheer squad. And Tractor Reynolds had
I shouldn't laugh. That's not funny.
Tractor Reynolds had to go in, pull Jimmy out, back to the game. And apparently at the end of the game, they go down the rooms, Dennis McInerney and all the great Claremont people, and they go, where's Jimmy? Where's Jimmy? See if he's all right. They couldn't find him. And he was in the other room getting changed, not having a shower or anything. He said, what are you doing, Jimmy? And he goes, I'm going to get those beeps. He was going to try and find the West Perth people outside Leaderville Oval. Mate, he took it seriously.
They were different times, Barrett. Hey, we will obviously preview the forthcoming round on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
But what did you make about Don Pike's comments at the weekend about the Eagles and fitness levels?
Very honest.
Very honest. And I think accurate.
And that's...
The second half of last season would tell us. The second half of games last season would tell us.
So who got it wrong?
Well, I think it's a combination of probably approach and profile of the list, because there's a lot of kids on that list, so they're obviously not going to be seasoned, hardened bodies, are they? But I think clearly they have addressed it now. Matthew Innes has come in, and they need to be fitter.
Well, I actually asked Simo about that, and he, at one stage, and I know Simo's talking today at the Eagles launch, and no doubt that'll probably get mentioned, but he was saying the old blokes we can't flog because they break down. The young blokes we can't flog because they're too young and they can't take the volume. This is last year, last couple of years. And he said, and in our mid-range, we don't have a lot of blokes. So I'm going to flog three blokes.
So you're saying they're different from other clubs because of the mid-range?
Just because of their setup. Yeah, yeah, you know how they miss on those mid-range? So now Pikey's gone, you know what, we can't be underdone because we're going to get pumped. And even if we lose the blokes, which is what's happened, oh, they've just got to become durable. If they're not durable, then we just got to plough on, because otherwise we're going to get smacked by 100 points. And there was 5 100-point losses, including that 171-point loss to Sydney last year.
Fremantle. So just one issue I want to raise is Brennan Cox looks like certainly his teammates are talking him up. If he plays, I'll be seriously thinking about tipping them this week, because at the moment I'm tipping Brisbane, but I'm wavering.
What are you basing that on?
Well, Brennan Cox is such an important player. So he's a bit like Jack Darling. Ability to come back from injury and endure, sort of play with injuries, is pretty good. For all the criticism we level at Jack, I think he has proven to be a very durable athlete. And I think Brennan Cox, his teammates say he comes back pretty well. So, look... I would be a bit surprised because he's done very little. You know,
why does that tip you into tipping
Freo? It's just a really important defender. It just adds to their structure, given what they're about to come up against is a pretty powerful Brisbane forward line. So
Feels like the Lions would be pretty fired up.
Why wouldn't Fremantle be equally fired up?
Yeah, but the Lions have just dropped. I mean, they had so many more inside 50s, and they should not have lost that game to Carlton. And they don't want to go 0-2. So it feels like a big game. I'll tell you what, if Fremantle wins, that's monstrous effort.
It is.
Against a premiership contender.
Well, let's get into the games. Now, it's not too late to get into the game, Barra.
Yeah.
Sign up now for your chance to win a share of more than $160,000 in prizes. For our listeners, we'll be giving away 2 Burley footies from Jim Kidd Sports, signed by the great Eagle and ballroom dancer, Ben Cousins. For anyone that signs up to the game and joins the Quarters and Barra tipping competition, you have until Sunday, March 17, at 11:59, that's very specific, which is the end of round one, of course, to join the competition to be in the running. Winners will be announced on the podcast on Tuesday, March 19. Barra, this week's results from the Quarters and Barra comp, which you can still join, our listeners out there. First, well done to Nicholas Paratore. 3 correct, margin 1. Second, Mark Hall. Well done, Mark. 3 correct, margin 2. That was very close at the top. And third, Alex Campbell. 3 correct, margin 4. I got 2.
1 for me.
And you got 1.
A lot of ones, I reckon. Hey, Nick Paratore, I reckon he's done well, 3 correct. Oh, did anyone get 4? And have we got many people involved in this? How many involved, you reckon, Joshy? 40-odd? 50? 80. 80. So
80, Nick, and building. Let's get up to 200 by the time we get through round 1.
So does Nick get the footy, does he?
So if you want to join, the link to join is in the podcast description. You're already listening to the podcast, so it's in that. Go to thegame.com.au or download the app now. Barra, what were your big takeaways from the weekend? Let's just break it up. Let's start with Collingwood GWS, the reigning premier against the preliminary finals. We'll go out of order, mate. Sorry to throw you.
Confusing me, mate.
But we spoke about Mason Cox earlier. Well, didn't touch the ball in the first half. You know what worried me most about Collingwood, and it's only opening round, plenty of time to go. I still expect them to be right at the pointy end. But just the way GWS was able to poke holes through that side, and particularly Collingwood's forward line, normally renowned for its defensive qualities, Barra, and its pressure, it just wasn't there at times at the weekend, and GWS capitalised.
Yeah, they look like they had a little bit of a premiership hangover, to be honest. And the other, my takeaways: 1, Giants premiership favourites, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Are you jumping off Melbourne as well?
No,
you're staying with Melbourne.
Oh yeah,
okay,
yeah, we'll get to Melbourne.
So I'm going GWS now, and Cadman. Aaron Cadman, mate, they found one there.
But you know what? We were talking
number one draft pick 2022.
But we were talking about Hogan and Cadman on Thursday in the preview. We weren't talking about Brown. So Brown kicks 5, Hogan kicks a bag, Cadman shows a bit. There's a lot to like about that forward line.
There's a lot to like, my friend.
And doesn't Jesse look up and about?
Isn't it good for Jesse? Like, I thought
he looks up and about.
I thought he was sort of super fragile. And, you know, a couple of sledges and blah, 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 you're sweet. He won't get a kick. But put him off his game, talk about his problems, but which I wouldn't do, but someone might do. And but now, how old is he now? 26, 27? How old would he be? Something like that. Yep. He's coming into his prime, the big fella.
And you know the best thing about GWS was the way they won. And we didn't see a huge influence from Toby Green, did we? Normally, no. Toby has a big influence on their victories.
And he's the captain. Tom Green.
Oh, yeah.
Mate, they've got some players.
He's a beast, isn't he?
Are you going with me? Come on, jump off Melbourne and say Giants.
Mate, I stick to my guns.
How can you stick to your guns?
That's how winning is done,
Barrett. What if they're on the bottom?
That's why I won the West Tipping comp last year, because I stick to my guns.
29, Jesse, too, by the way, so he's probably only got a couple of years.
Don't write him off just yet.
No, I'm just saying 29. He's probably got 2 or 3 years at the peak, but he might get the flag. I reckon the Blues probably now, you can say maybe they could win the flag too. Not saying they're favourites, but they're definitely in the job.
Yeah, I need a bit more convincing, albeit what a fantastic comeback. Well, let's talk about them. Carlton, 46 points down. Really sad news there for Sam Doherty. Terrific, much loved, not only by his teammates, but around the competition. The boy from Phillip Island, third ACL. Let's hope he gets back. It's not going to be this year, but let's hope he gets back and gets some silverware, because he deserves it. Brisbane, did you? They should have never let that lead slip, of course. But does 46. Coleman now, can they win the flag? I know it's a big call, but can they win the flag without Coleman?
Off one bloke. Yeah.
Mate, is he Nick Dacos to them?
Well, he's good, but
he's huge in their setup.
46 points up. They win that game 9 out of 10. And even at the end there, they had heaps more inside 50s. They actually should have won. But full credit to the Blues. I tell you what, if I'm a Dockers fan, I hate to say this, but Blake Akers would just drive you mad, wouldn't he? I mean, how good was Blake Akers? He was 23 disposals or something, whatever it was. Back in defence, intercept the ball, then pushing forward. Whoever made the decision to let Blake Akers go, maybe he made the decision, maybe it's Colin Young.
Well, Fremantle were offering him unders. It's as simple as that.
That is one of the great balls ups.
I agree.
Blake Akers, whoa. Yeah, I'm not having a crack or anything, but he just...
Well, you are.
He's super.
You are having a crack.
Well, I just feel for the Fremantle people. I'd be the same if I was a Dockers fan. I'd be going, geez, can you stop getting the ball? Fair dinkum.
So we talk about that GWS forward line, but at Carlton, Charlie Curnow steps up with 4 and Harry Mackay 3 and Barra just wobbling that primate on his back, shaking it off with that goal, the match-winning goal.
Can you imagine what would have happened if he'd missed?
Yeah.
All the hype and the paparama and the cane corns jumping on his back.
Geez, Michael Voss wasn't prepared to talk about it. He was a bit grumpy in the post-match about that. I think that was absolutely entitled to be asked that question about Harry Mackay. And he was quite...
The yips.
Yeah, he wasn't happy.
Well, how good is it that he doesn't...
He looked like a real coach, didn't he, Michael Voss, with that answer?
Yeah. One, that he doesn't play on, because he often got caught playing on. And he didn't try to kick around the corner.
Yeah.
So... I believe he's been working relentlessly on his goal kicking. And have you seen what he does now? He goes to 10 steps and then he puts the ball down. So that, in other words, I'm not playing on like a dickhead. Because once the ball's out of his hands, that means that he can't play on.
So isn't it better to just, if you're going to stuff up with the routine? Isn't it better just to have a routine?
You don't get criticised by old farts that have, you know, used to kick it straight. Because the young blokes, they believe in that kick, you know, around the corner.
Yeah, but why do the old farts believe in the process? Because they used to spend 2 hours after training practising and they can't now.
If Peter Hudson was here, mate, he would say, why don't you kick the flat punt, mate?
Well, you know what, Pete? Yeah, you know
Peter Hudson, he kicked 150 goals. Do we kick the flat punt anymore?
You know what he used to do? Did you ever do this in a game?
He used to punt.
No,
he wobble all over the shop.
He used to pick. He'd line up at full forward. He'd pick someone behind the goals in the crowd with a distinctive jumper or a shirt or something.
Yep.
And he'd kick it to him.
That's the. That's kind of what you do. Yeah. You look for someone in the crowd, but the flat punt.
In your 1,000 goals you kicked, did you do that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how you did it. You lined up something to kick to. I'm not giving you a secret here, am I? So I think everyone knows that. But the flat punt, You know what the flat punt was.
Oh, yeah, Twiggy Dunn kicked the flat punt in the 77 grand final draw.
It doesn't spin properly and it just floats through. But Hutto reckons it, and he kicked 150 flat punts. And if you talk to Billy Walker, he'd say the stab pass should still be in. Mm. Why isn't the stab pass in? Now we've got perfect surfaces. You could use the stab pass.
Yeah.
You talk to those old blokes, they say, bring back the stab pass. Jack Sheedy, Stevie Marsh, any of those guys, bring back the stab pass. Is that what happens? The footy moves on. You've got to listen to the exponents, and the young blokes reckon the snap is the GA. What didn't work for Harry because he played on, he had bad judgment, plus he's a giant, which is probably not ideal.
Well, well done to him at the weekend, and well done to Carlton. A lot of belief there, and I loved it. The Blues Brothers were great, weren't they, behind the... Do you see the Blues Brothers?
Yeah, yep. A lot of Blues there.
Another big tick.
They travel, don't they?
Gold Coast v Richmond, 11 straight early in the game. Matt Rowell must have eaten a lot of grass before that game, Barra.
20 clearances.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
20, mate, that is... He's... Like, he was super.
Which is an AFL record.
I don't know.
I can't even think about doing 20. Paul Salmon holds it from the ruck, I think, in the late 90s. But
five clearances a quarter.
It's unbelievable.
And like, so you've got to get to the clearance, you've got to win the ball, and then you've got to get rid. Man, that's phenomenal. He must be a beast inside. He must be, like, in his brain, he's a giant. Magnificent.
Good to see Ben King kick three goals. Five goals. Powell as well, off the halfback flank. Great performance from him.
Yeah,
look, lots to like about them.
Aussie.
Do you take anything for Richmond, given that Martin Lynch to come back in and that third quarter comeback when they were gone for all money? I thought that you get something. What does Uze say to them after the game?
Yeah, it's true, because Taranto and Hopper and... They've still got good players. Oh, let me ask you this. This week they get back probably Dusty, Tommy Lynch and Nank. All right? So Dusty, Tommy Lynch and Nank. Who are they playing? That's a pretty...
Carlton on Thursday.
So that's Thursday's game. Is that enough? And I'll ask you this as well. Where to for the Tigers and where to for these guys? Camden, McIntosh. The Pinjarra boy.
I like Camden. I think he's got a role to play. I still think so. And particularly you need a bit of experience in that side. So that answers that. Where to Richmond? I think they will be bottom four.
All right, so let me go through them. Camden McIntosh, keeping him.
Yep.
Yep. Dylan Grimes, end of the year.
Keeping him.
He's a good player, but keeping him.
Yep.
At the end of the year?
Possibly. We'll see what sort of year he has.
Marlon Pickett.
Yep, keep him.
Mate, you're going to get rid of anyone?
Well, you can't get rid of him now.
I'm saying at the end of the year.
Oh, let's see how they play out.
No, it's not. They've got to turn the wheel on these guys.
Some of them they do.
Yeah, so I'm asking you, who is the quarters?
Well, they'll be keep naming.
Make a decision, mate.
I'm not making a decision on those.
Jacob Kosicki?
Oh, I don't know about him. We'll find out.
Oh, he might be one of the borderlines.
Well, he's just come in from Hawthorn,
Sam Naismith, 31-year-old, couple of knees. Yeah. Looks okay, but do you keep him?
We maybe need him as backup, as ruckman.
And what about our man, Nathan Broad?
He'll probably make that decision himself, I reckon. He's getting towards the end.
Three premierships.
Great career.
The only 22 and unders they've got is Josh Gibkiss.
Yep, good player.
Maurice Rioli.
Yep.
Seth Campbell. Sam Banks. And Thompson Dow.
Well, they're in that period where it's going to be a bit of a long process, isn't it, to get back to where they want to be. Still a lot of talent in there, of course. Bolton, Baker, in that middle age bracket.
One,
so
two,
lots
three,
of light. A lot of light.
Only five, I think, so they only had five players under 22 in that team.
So, yeah, it's not good.
And they're bringing back Dusty, Lynch and Nank, so a couple of those kids will probably
Uzo's got the job ahead of him, I think, but we'll see how they go. Final game before we get onto some mail. Seems a long time ago. Sydney v Melbourne, my tip for the flag pre-season. And I want to raise a question while I do it. I think Melbourne, firstly Sydney, Brodie Grundy, what a great performance. Went to school on Gorn. And there's been some commentary, mate. I found it really interesting. Nathan Buckley talking about Mick Malthouse's coaching against Dean Cox, how it was like a death by a thousand cuts. So most of the players ran into him at some stage of the game to try and suck the air out of him, which that's what they tried to do to Gorn at the weekend. It was pretty successful and a great performance by Grundy. So that matchup, it's 1-0 so far.
But Brodie, in that Brodie Grundy's his ruck skill, ruck work, ruck technique was amazing.
And on that small
round, he knew what to do to Max. He said, "I know how to beat Max," and he went across the line. It wasn't illegal. Mate, that was so clever. I can't believe Max didn't see that coming, or that he didn't adjust.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like Grundy was BOG. He got hit by a jellyfish in the ear, and see how fat his ear was when he was getting interviewed? He had the blue ring jellyfish or whatever. I don't know if it's a blue ring. Is it a blue ring?
No, it's a blue ring octopus.
What's
man of war is the jellyfish.
What's the jellyfish?
It's the man of war.
No, it's a blue
something. The box jellyfish.
No, it's a blue something or other. Is there a blue jellyfish?
Barrett, to quote Seinfeld, I'm not a marine biologist.
Anyway, he got done at Bondi or whatever before the match. His ear had blown up. He's thinking, I'm going in against Maxi. He ends up being best on ground. And now you're thinking, why did they get rid of him? Or why did the other club get rid of him?
Yeah, it's pretty hard to find a space for two of them. Anyway, great performance from Sydney. The Lizard, Blakey, great performance.
Mate, can I just ask you about the Lizard? Don't skim over the Lizard.
Okay.
Mate, that guy, he is an absolute freak. You know how tall he is?
I'm going to guess here. Would he be in the old school? Would he be 6'4"?
What about in the new school? What's the new school?
6'4"? What is he?
No, what in the
190, I don't know.
190, what do you reckon?
6.
198.
Okay.
He's a frigging giant. Yeah. Mate, I couldn't believe how big he was. Yeah. I thought, nah, he's a super player. Mm. A lizard, he slithers like a lizard and... Mate, all those jokes aside, he's a nightmare for opposition. And he can run, entire ground. So he can go to the back line, get the ball, bounce, bounce, kick, handball, and not cramp up like most human beings. Mate, he's a freak. He is a freak.
Great performance by Heaney in the midfield with Mills, Adams and Parker to still come back in.
And they
in.
Beat your blokes at their own game.
Yeah, they did.
In the inside game.
Yeah. And they've conceded that. And they conceded it. And Gawn, to his credit too, after the game, said, yeah, he got the chocolates. I concede that. He pretty well had to. But Van Rooyen, a lot of focus on Van Rooyen. Obviously, he's a very good player. But that forward line, I thought Shacky actually gave him something, Barra. Mm-hmm. I know he didn't kick six goals and take a million possessions, but I thought he actually gave him a presence in the forward line. Fritch kicked four, good to see. So they got to get that forward line right if they're going to challenge.
Surely you must have some doubts now.
Well, I've always had some doubts. But
about Melbourne.
I like their best.
And the flag.
I like their best a lot.
Because they got beaten up in the contest. 14 extra inside 50s Sydney had. 14 extra.
At the SCG. Can I just raise one more point, though?
They're both playing
there,
by the
way. And it's an excuse that they did comment on the slipperiness of the ball and the heavy. It was quite humid. And you could see Sydney, who've been training in it, were very sharp. Melbourne haven't, and they were very fumbly. So I think that's key to it as well.
That's a very good point.
And so great column by Craig O'Donoghue at the weekend, who's a former umpire, as you know. And he's speaking about the yellow ball. Is it time to get rid of it? Because it does have an extra layer of lacquer on it, and it is more slippery than the red ball. And given our lighting... And our TV, our broadcaster, Channel 7, is so much better now than it was. Maybe it's time to ditch the yellow ball.
Yeah, well, I was talking to our new weather presenter here, Charlotte Goodlett, who was married to Kieran Jack. Sorry, is married to Kieran Jack, and they both live here now. Kieran Jack's joined the West Coast Eagles. And she was saying that's correct. That is the most insightful thing probably said on this show today, that...
Gee, thanks.
That the slipperiness, they are experts.
So you're saying Melbourne has got an out here?
They are absolute experts, but they did got stitched up with a team that had a heap of blokes out of their midfield, so that worries you. And he goes, okay, so what are you going to do about your forward line? Because I said, Quarters wants to know, Goody, what are you going to do about forward line? He says, Harry Petty.
Yep.
Keziah Pickett.
Yeah, they're two big ins.
And recruit Shane McAdam.
I think they really miss Pickett. Two players isn't going to fix it. They need more efficiency forward line.
Shane McAdam.
Okay, yeah, but they've just got to function better, and it just didn't work very well at the weekend, as it didn't in last year's final series. So they got to work on that. Barra, now it's time for this.
Saddle up your camel. It's time for the Thirsty Camel Mailbag.
Thank you to our long-time sponsors, Thirsty Camel. Try the new Carlton Dry 3.5% block for $52.99 with a free stubby holder while stocks last. This week we have a $50 gift voucher, Barra, to give away thanks to Thirsty Camel. The winner will be announced on Thursday. Please get your mail in. It's starting to come in. fire up and send in your mail to quartersandbarra@wanews.com.au. Bit of a theme, Barra.
Do we get any
you
emails?
Called for four. Yeah, we've got a couple.
Do we get any emails about the length of the show?
We did.
Because my study tells me that at 40 minutes is the absolute prime time for a potty.
Well,
in Western Australia, they've broken it down to Perth, and because you drive 20, I made that up.
I'll go straight into into Keith. First, g'day guys, first time contributor. Love the podcast, even the length of it. Sorry, Barra. Barra and Quarters stories, especially the historical footy ones, these are the things he loves.
Oh, nice.
He loves the idea that if an opposing team player causes a concussion, then in that game they also lose a player. The small tweak I would suggest is that the coach of the team who lost the player to concussion chooses who gets taken off the other team. They could choose anyone they want. Love that you read listener mail. No problems at all, Keith. He hates the idea of divisions. They should never enter Aussie rules. This is conferences. The Yanks should do it like us. Never will, but should. Argument against is that you could have 2 to 3 really strong teams in one division. They end up playing each other in the division playoff and only the winner goes through. And he also hates Canadian winters. So he's obviously emailing from Canada. Thank you, Keith, for your email. And there's 1-0, by the way.
So hang on, you can't...
For keeping it at an hour.
Keith
or longer.
He doesn't live here. So that's... I'm not discounting him, but that takes him out of...
He doesn't have to live here. He's got ears.
What I'm saying is, if you live in Western Australia, where most of our...
unlike yours that are painted on
it. Are most of our listeners here?
Yeah,
right. So
but we have a very strong international...
It's a 20-minute drive to anywhere in
Canary Islands, the UK,
would that be right, 20 minutes? 20 minutes is your average drive, right?
Mm-hmm.
In WA, in Perth.
I don't know. Not
so
mine.
In Canada, he probably lives out in bloody... You know, the wilderness somewhere.
Possibly.
He's probably travelling all the way from bloody
Might have
Montreal.
Snowshoes on.
Montreal.
He might be ploughing through the snow in his snowshoes listening to our podcast.
Yeah, that's why he wants
so.
It longer.
Maybe shooting a few moose as he goes. This one from Andrew from W. Hi, Barra. You raised an issue last year that I had a long think about. The constant racial abuse. This is something we mentioned earlier. Constant racial abuse that Chris Lewis cop when he joined the AFL as a player. The Victorian clubs were relentless as it clearly affected his performance. At the time, it never made the media as it was a taboo to address. When you come across the perpetrators, some of whom are no doubt doyens of the game, do you ever raise it with them? Do they at least acknowledge their past mistakes?
Yes, they do. That's a very good email. Very good email. Must be the leader, the contender, because I have, and in fact, they've raised it with me, and they've also, what's the word when you feel bad about something? They feel bad about it. Like they think, wow, I didn't really understand. I didn't understand.
Well, you're contrite, you're apologetic.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they didn't understand the Aboriginal perspective as well. The fact that me being called a white so-and-so, I'd just blow it off because the whites run the world. But being called the opposite, it really cuts through. And it really does cut through. And it hurts them to the core. And I saw Lewis just shrink into himself and become more bitter and twisted about the world. And it was horrible to see. In 1991, he's probably the best player in the AFL. And
yeah.
He still played in 2 flags, but he was never exactly the same player. Ended up biting Viney. And then the boys came out and said, yeah. And I think I've told that story about the Melbourne star who has sledged him and hit one of his teammates was Indigenous and he heard it. And his teammate, and this is when it came home to this famous Melbourne player, that maybe this doesn't work because if I'm calling him that, and the other guy in my team is that as well, does he think I think it like about him, like, if you know what I mean, without putting too fine a point on it? So that's what brought it home. I go, hang on, this ain't working.
I just still think the 1990 final series was maybe the best individual final series I've seen, and that was Chris Lewis. I was in Melbourne at that time, and it was wonderful to watch. This one from Alan Barra, and it's now 2-0. Morning, boys. Great to have the show back. Really enjoy the banter. First, keep the show the same length, Barra. We live in regional WA, and it takes me nearly 20 minutes to get to the top of the driveway.
I'm sorry.
Most of our driveway.
20 minutes to get out of his driveway.
Most of our drives are a couple of hours. So listening to your long-winded stories, there's a backhanded compliment, fills in a bit of time on the long drives. While listening to Barrett discussing the inequities of the AFL, it got me thinking. The northern states are getting money poured into them and have been given round zero as a standalone promotion, which shows, again, the VFL runs the show and couldn't possibly call it round one. Both Adelaide teams get their moment in the sun with Gather Round, another trip for both our WA-based teams. Surely we as Western Australians, as part of a national comp, warrant the same level of respect and support from the VFL, sorry, AFL, to host a marquee event in our state. I suggest something during the bye periods where the pathetic propped-up Vic teams travel to WA for a handful of games. It might only be four teams depending on how they structure the byes. The teams that play here could have the bye the following week to get over the exhaustion of the travel. Anyway, I'd be interested in both your thoughts on what might be possible. Cheers, Al.
What's that fella's name? Al?
Yep.
Al.
Tell you what, that's in the clubhouse as well.
Whereabouts in the bush is he?
He just says regional WA, so doesn't say where.
So we sort of, I get now, for our regional listeners, we need to go longer because the distance.
So what, we do two podcasts, one for region and one for metro?
We're not going beyond an hour and 10, though, like you like to do, but the 20 minutes up your driveway is a bit of a reach. But he makes a good point, Al, because they've got Gather Round now, South Australia. Mm-hmm. When are we going to get something?
For another 3 years.
I mean, we did get the grand final, but that was just by fluke, wasn't it? You know what I mean? How good was it? How good did it come here? We got the best stadium. Any danger we can have something?
A very good point. The only thing I'd say is I don't want more buys. I think people, they dislike the buys. Let's just limit them if we can. But I don't mind the idea of having something to celebrate West Australian football. I think that's a great idea. I really do. So
we deserve our own gather round. I know that the government.
Well, hopefully
went
we
after
get it here after the contract runs out with this. Last one. Dear gentlest of men, this is from Sam. Well, thank you, Sam. Amazing to have the show back. We survived. A question around trade talk from other clubs. Are there any rules about chatting to newly drafted kids from the draft and trying to lure them after their contract or earlier? For example, Eagles have talks with Dan Curtin about coming back home after 3 years or potentially earlier. Yes, you can't speak to them while they're in contract if you're at another club, but certainly player managers can talk to player managers and there are ways and means around this. So, yes, absolutely it happens.
Is he going to get picked this week, Dan Curtin?
I think he might.
And what if he's not? That's the first blow.
First blow for what?
First blow.
It's only round one.
No, first blow for him coming back.
Round one of his first
year. This bloke wants him to come back. I want him to come back. The Eagles have kept their early pick. That was clever. Mm-hmm. So they can actually do the deal. Probably can't be done next year, but maybe the year after. He's a monster. He's a giant. He'll be exactly what they need.
Should the Eagles have a crack at McGovern? Logan McDonald?
Well, did you watch the game?
Oh, he was all right. Oh, you're bagging Logan?
I'm not bagged, I'm just saying. Yeah, no, he was all right. But, I mean, you're talking about Fremantle, really, aren't you, not West Coast.
Why can't it be West Coast? Everyone's talking about Fremantle and Logan. Why can't it be West Coast?
Well, I think Jai Amos probably is going to need a partner, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And Tabs.
So is Oscar Allen.
Yeah, Tabs is not.
So is Oscar Allen.
Yeah, but mate, if I'm Logan McDonald, I'm not coming to a club that's not going to win a flag.
They might in 4 or 5 years.
if your grandma
follow the money.
If your grandma
maybe
had,
there's good coin there.
If your grandma had, you know what, she'd be
follow
your
the money.
Grandfather, is that how it goes?
Something
no,
like
but
that.
Mate, the Dockers would have plenty
if
of
Uncle
dough.
Bob was a woman, anyway, she'd be your auntie, I think, was it?
You've distracted me there because who are we talking about? Dan Curtin, mate. More importantly, I mean, Logan's going to be on the. I reckon that Sydney will make him a massive offer because he said that's their structure. Buddy's finally left, but Fremantle will come weighing in. But Dan Curtin with McGovern and Barras just hanging on, in some ways that they need him. So how good would he be there?
You have been listening to Quarters and Barra. We will be back Thursday to pour through round one. Not opening round, but round one and the first games of West Coast and Fremantle for the season. We have been brought to you by Tab Touch. Got the touch? Download the Tab Touch app today. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Remember to get your mail into Quarters and Barra at wanews.com.au. Thanks, Barra. Thank you, listeners. We will be back on Thursday.